The following is a sermon from Pastor Timothy Borman and Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
Our word this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 5. We've been going a little bit at a time through Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. And so we've made it to the middle. We've made it to the middle of our sermon series. Sometimes I'll take just one verse and preach on that. This morning, I'm going to take the whole chapter because we have to take the whole chapter. This is Proverbs chapter 5. If you're listening in online, open up your Bibles there. We are on page 11 in our bulletins. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to the one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, "How I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people." Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. This is God's word. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us and washed us clean. You might call this the talk. It's the talk. It's the birds and the bees. It's the one where Solomon comes to us and he says, "Drink, but I'm still talking in metaphors." Let's be direct. This is where Solomon comes to us and he speaks to us about sex, chastity. And I got to tell you, we need this talk. We all need this talk. These days, I feel it more like a father. As a father, I feel this deep. I learned this last year. A man and I have always opted out of our kids, out of the talk that happens at the public schools. They call it, in popular discourse, they call it sex ed. And we always opt them out because we opt them in to our talk. And we talk about this enough. that we don't think we need a stranger to talk with them about who to have sex with and when and how. But this last year, the school sent home forms for opting out, and we opted them out, and then we got the call. They said, "Sir," it was actually to Amanda, "Ma'am, you're the only family in the whole school who opted out, and the DOE now has a policy that you cannot." I said, "Oh, really? They changed the policy. You can no longer opt out of the public school talk." So you know what we did? We started to read the materials. Gross. I'm going to be honest. Wow. Read them if you haven't. We visited high schools with Taylee. I remember walking down the halls of the public schools, and I saw a plastic bucket hanging off the wall of the high school. And it looked like one of those plastic buckets that, you know, that you can buy from Costco that are full of pretzels. Only this time, it was a grab bag of condoms. Right in the front of the school. And that's when I knew, like, oh, she's not going to this school. We need this talk. Here's the truth. If the church doesn't talk about it, if you don't talk about it with your kids, if you don't think about this for yourself, somebody else is going to inform them about how to go about sex and chastity. Somebody else is going to push it into their hearts, even if it's with their little amiguitas and their little amiguitos. That's what we call them. So you got to have the talk. We got to have this talk. We need this talk with Solomon here today. And this is how he goes about this. I'm going to frame it this way. He uses the idea of sight to have the talk. And what he wants to help us to see, first of all, is far enough ahead that you would understand the consequences of unchastity. That you would have a little bit of foresight. That he wants to see also what's right in front of us. We're going to talk about that, those of you who are married. What's right in front of us. And then finally, we're going to talk about who it is that sees us. So here's how I want to bring it to you. I want you to see chastity. It's foresight, it's sight, and it's observer. Now Solomon, his first part, he does something that I think is absolutely genius. He lifts our eyes over and over again to see the end of the adulterous affair. You see, because at the beginning, it's all sweetness, he says. He even admits it. Like, this is fun for a second. But relentlessly, without pause, he says, I want you to know that this is how it ends every single time. This is like Charles Dickens' the Christmas Carol. You know that one? Where he, for a second, Ebenezer Scrooge is whisked into his awful future. And Solomon does that for us. He says, okay, if you want to be unchaste, if you want to be indecent, if you want to participate in adultery, he's going to whisk you into your awful future. And so he peels it back, and he says, okay, if you want to do that, this is what's going to happen. And he pictures you as an old man. He says, picture this old man, and there he's sitting there, and he's poor. That's what he says. He's like, you have given your best, your vigor, your economic resources, and you've poured them not into a woman, but into somebody else. And it's gone. And then he says, he pictures the old man and his body's wasted away. That could be from old age, but you know what it might be? This might be a biblical reference to STDs and STIs. He's like, look at that. Your body's being consumed by sicknesses and diseases. And then he says, you're going to have spiritual consequences as well. going to say, this is what's going to be going through your mind. And you know what's going through your mind because of your conscience? Regret. And you're saying to yourself, it's actually very vivid. He actually gives this inner dialogue for a second. He's very vivid, conversational. He's like, oh, I wish I would have listened. Oh, but I wouldn't listen. People told me I would not listen. And then he says, now I'm alone. I'm all alone and I deserve it because of what I did. Solomon says, look, dear sons. He says, look, dear sons, you got to have a little bit of foresight. Now, this is the law. And in the Lutheran church, we talk about this. There's three uses of law. Use of the law as curb. The use of the law as curb. Sometimes in life what we need is a little bit of insight. Like insight, in other words, we need to be able to see things a little bit deeper. But sometimes in life what we need to do is we need to have a little bit of foresight. And what foresight is, you look ahead and you say to yourself, what are the consequences of this? If I make this decision, if I do this, how does this inevitably end? And when it comes to adultery, it never, ever, ever ends well. You remember this last summer? It was all the rage, the kiss cam at the Coldplay concert. Please tell me you saw that. I think everybody saw it. And there they are. There they are, caught on camera. And within a few days, what did they lose? Their jobs? Their families? And that's not even to speak of the spiritual consequences. I read this stat online. This is just a physical consequence, and Solomon talks about it. You know how many adult people suffer from STDs and STIs? 80%. 80% of people get sick because of this very issue. We could go on and talk about the financial consequences. You know, it's like a running joke in the movies and in the shows that what happens when somebody gets a divorce. This is devastating financially. Every single time I saw a GoFundMe. I saw a GoFundMe for someone who was going through a divorce. These are devastating consequences apart from the spiritual ones. Now, what does this mean? What it means is when you're about to take, this is what Solomon is saying, when you're about to take a bad decision, when your blood is hot and boiling, what Solomon says, have a little foresight. Cool yourself down for a second, because this doesn't end well. But there's a second thing. He actually says it there. He gives us a second word of advice when it comes to foresight. He says, here's what you're never going to want to do. Don't go even close to her house. Don't go down that path. In other words, you want to stay, I always put it this way, stay at least five decisions away from that last bad one. At least five decisions away. Like, if you're vulnerable, if you just had a fight, right? And you're like, oh, I want to get him back, or I want to get her back. And you're vulnerable. You know that about yourself. You know what you're not going to want to do? Don't go to the bar. And if you go to the bar, don't start drinking. And if you start drinking, don't start talking to someone of the opposite sex. And if you're going to do that, don't stay past midnight. Back that train all the way up and decide, I'm going to stay at least five decisions away from that one really bad one that wrecks everything. Solomon says, don't even go near her house. Have a little bit of foresight. See ahead the consequences of what it means to be indecent and chaste. That's Solomon's first word to us. The second is this. He wants us to see who is right in front of us. And he actually gives a very vivid metaphor of water. Now, water was precious in that region and in that day. Water was a beautiful thing. And Solomon's like, don't share it. But what you are going to want to do is drink deeply of it, because that tall glass of water in front of you is very refreshing for married people. This is what he's saying. Now, I'm not going to get vivid. I'm not going to get explicit. I'm not even going to go as far as Solomon does in the poetry here. I'm just not. But I do want to point out two things about what he does say. The first thing that he says is this. He actually asks God to bless the sexual relationship of the married couple. He says, may your fountains be blessed. So God's not prudish. And he's not saying that sex is only for children. He's saying, God, I want you to bless the lovemaking of married people. And that's beautiful. He actually says a second thing, and he says this about the sexual relationship of married people. He says, it can be at its best absolutely intoxicating. It's intoxicating. Like for a moment, you're lost in it. He says, God, bless it like that. Now, I don't know. I don't know what you think the church or what the Bible teaches about the sexual relationship of married people, but maybe you don't know this. That God wants married people to be sexually happy. He really does. God's not prudish. He's not Victorian. You don't have to participate in the act just to have children. You can do it just because it's awesome and it's intoxicating. Solomon says this, God bless it that way. Now, a lot of pastors at this point, there's plenty of them out there, will go absolutely viral with what they say next. And I'm not going to be that pastor. I'm not. Like, there's some pastors that say, okay, all the married people, you should go home and do this like so many times per week or per month. I'm not going to do that. Because there's so much more to say about it, about gentleness and respect and honor and love. And how each married couple is different. I'm not gonna go viral. But I just want to make two simple observations. These are just observations. And I'll just be kind of blunt about it. The people who have sex these days, I'll put it this way. The people who shouldn't be having sex these days are. And the people who should be having sex or can have sex many times aren't. That's just an observation. I'll also say this, that when people who shouldn't have sex do have sex, and this is my observation, they almost always feel regret. But when married people have sex, you know what they almost never feel? Regret. They're not sitting there thinking, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I was tired. I wish we wouldn't have done that. No. It's a beautiful thing. They're like, I was tired, but that was fun. That was good. That was intoxicating. No, married people, they don't regret this. Now, we could probably talk about this all day, about the reasons why those things may be true. But here's Solomon's word. Drink deeply of your own cistern. Now, a word for the single people. A word for the single people. Being single is beautiful and good too. The Apostle Paul says so. It's dignified and holy, and you join with Jesus and Paul, and I want you married people to know that it's good to be married too. The Apostle Paul says that too. It's a wonderful thing to be married. Both things can be true, can't they? Solomon says to the married people, he lifts our eyes to see who it is that's right in front of us. He says, drink deeply of your own sister. Now, the last thing that I wanted to say about this and what Solomon says to us is this. He says, there is one who sees you. And what it says exactly here in Proverbs, this is verse 21, he says, for your ways are in full view of the Lord. And he examines all your paths. So in other words, your life, including your sex life, because that's what he's talking about, is in full view of the Lord. So picture it like this, like your life, you're going about your life, and God's got this giant picture window, and he sees everything. He sees everything. Sometimes people ask me, they're like, Pastor, well, how far can we go? And sometimes I give a silly response to say, well, don't do anything with your boyfriend or your girlfriend that you wouldn't want your mom to see. If your mom can be standing there the whole time, she can see it, well, then it's okay. If your mom can't see it, but maybe the right thing and the right way to be talking about is don't do anything that God is not pleased with, because he sees it. Now, this truth, it cuts two ways. The fact that God is an observer, he sees everything. Here's the truth. Your sexual history, your sexual desires, and what you plan to do sexually is seen by God. He sees it. And if that truth lands in your heart and you say, Lord, have mercy, then I praise God. Because that's God's law at work in your heart. Lord, have mercy. But at the same time, that truth is gospel, because the Lord also sees us in our sin and in our mess and in our impurity. And when he sees that, his heart is moved, and you know what he did? He decided to do something about it. He sent Jesus, and he washed us clean in his blood. You know what people do when they've done something gross? What's the next thing that they do? They wash themselves. So it's not surprising to me that the Apostle Paul says, when he talks about this, he says, you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not surprising to me when he says in Ephesians, he says, Christ loved the church. And he washed the church. And he saw the church in its mess. And then he said, I'm going to wash her clean through water and the word. And I'm going to leave her so that, and I love the details. I love the details, without stain or blemish or anything else. So when God sees you, he sees you perfect and holy in his sight. God is an observer. And he observed, yes, our sins, but he observes to save. And that's Solomon's talk. That's his talk. He says, lift your eyes. He says, lift your eyes just a little bit so that you can see out some of the consequences if you make this choice. And then he says, see who it is that's right in front of you. Drink deeply. And then he says, see the one who sees you. Amen.